League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two, live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We are 3 days away as the countdown rolls on from Super Bowl Sunday and Super Bowl 59 between the Chiefs and the Eagles. In this second hour, it is basically a full Super Bowl 59 preview. We will split the biggest game of each and every season, this time in the Big Easy, in half to look at first half props, second half props, and of course continue our breakdowns around Super Bowl 59. It's starting to get busy there in New Orleans on Radio Row. Plenty of coverage from the Sports Grid team at Super Bowl 59 coming your way in this second hour as well. And yesterday was Wednesday, which means officially in Super Bowl week, we got our first practice/injury report for both teams. We'll detail for you here to start off this second hour.
Looking forward to it, Ben. T-minus, what, 72 hours and counting here. So it is crunch time where all our questions will be answered and a champion will be crowned here. And will we be making history is the, I guess, the big question for the remainder of these 3 days here. Are we going to see something we've never seen in the history of the NFL? That's saying something.
An encapsulation to a historic and dynastic run. Will it continue for KC? Might the Eagles be able to exact some revenge from Super Bowl 57 just a few years ago? Quickly, some NFL news and notes. Today, a big day. We'll find out the 2025 Hall of Fame class around the National Football League. Yesterday, big day in Duval County, the Jags hiring Grant Udinski, who spent the previous few years in Minnesota under Kevin O'Connell as the Jags' new offensive coordinator under Liam Cohen. He will help with the offensive game plan and schemes, but Cohen will still call plays, Joe, for the Jags in 2025.
Yeah, I do not feel confident in what happened there with him. I'm not sure it means his first press conference is any indication of what kind of head coach he's going to be. But I do think it bears keeping an eye on here on whether or not this is, did they get this hire right? It does appear, though, they got the front office right, though, with getting rid of Trent Baalke and bringing in a, you know, former, I don't know, Hall of Fame offensive lineman for the team.
That is for sure. We will see what it means. Of course, one of the reasons Liam Cohen was hired in Jacksonville is because of his offensive acumen, and he is excited to work with Trevor Lawrence. A lot of conversation this week around the NFL about another extended and prolonged season, making it an 18-game NFL regular season that would probably include multiple bye weeks and make Super Bowl Sunday a holiday weekend. On President's Day weekend, well, the NFLPA, the Players Association, coming out yesterday against the 18-game schedule. Believe it or not, they were also against the 17-game schedule, and look what happened. It only seems, Joe, really, if you are realistic about these sort of things, that it's a matter of time before the NFL extends the season to an 18th game.
Oh, absolutely. It's coming one way or the other. Whether they want it or they don't want it, it's if there is money and expansion to be had when it comes to the NFL, they will figure out a way to get it worked in. And unfortunately, the players just they're going to have to grin and bear it. It is what it is.
Extended and expanded, the NFL confirming they will play a game in Australia in 2026. You thought London was bad. get ready to make the trip down under. Myles Garrett saying on Radio Row yesterday he consulted LeBron. Yeah, LeBron James, about the trade request that he offered up this week from the Cleveland Browns, and Trey Hendrickson, another elite edge rusher in the state of Ohio for now with the Cincinnati Bengals, says he wants a contract extension or to be traded. It seems as though many in Cincy unhappy with the way the Bengals front office does things, led by their owner Mike Brown. Oh, you don't say. A very precarious offseason once again for the Bengals, having to pay Ja'Marr Chase, having to pay and extend Trey Hendrickson. What's going to happen with T. Higgins? He is probably on his way out. We'll see what that all means for the Bengals entering 2025. Now, to the actual football game we have coming on Sunday. We're going to break down Super Bowl 59 by the half, but just to make sure you all know, the odds have not moved even slightly for Super Bowl Sunday at this point. Still a point and a half spread in favor of Kansas City. Minus 120 on the money line for KC, where it has remained for most of this week, and a total that is still at 48.5. Joe, although we have not seen the odds shift, I will say this. You, of course, know that this wonderful show is sponsored by the wonderful sportsbook being FanDuel. But a lot of other places in the market, we should just mention, have this spread not at 1.5, with that hook being paramount, but only 1 point in favor of the Chiefs.
Yeah, and we saw this a couple of years ago as well, Ben. We saw the Kansas City open up as a slight favorite there in Glendale, and you know, as we got a little bit closer to the weekend and before kickoff, the line eventually flipped. The Philadelphia money came pouring in on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and eventually Philadelphia was a 2.5 point favorite when that game kicked off. And it does feel we're kind of heading in that trajectory here. Yeah. I think come tomorrow and Saturday, if this line is going to move, I think you're going to start to see it significantly move over the next 48 hours.
3 days out from Super Bowl Sunday, at the end of Championship Sunday, I made a note to look at where the early money was coming in on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Closer to 60% of the wagers, 60% of the money was back in Kansas City on the spread. Those numbers dwindling. 53% of the money still back in the Chiefs, laying 1.5. Joe, it's an even 50-50 toss-up in terms of where the amount of bets are in terms of the spread. 50% on KC, 50% on Philadelphia. Our first practice slash injury reports officially in Super Bowl week. A couple of players limited for the Eagles. Jalen Carter with an illness. Kenneth Gainwell trying to come back from a concussion. Devontae Smith limited as well. But Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, full participants at practice yesterday. That really big news for the Birds. Mainly, Joe, the interior of the offensive line is, if there is a concern spot on either side, it is with Philadelphia center in Jurgens and their left guard in Dickerson.
Yeah, no, and that's all good news that they are participating and look like they are going to go. Listen, nobody is healthy, Ben, at this point in the season. Right. Nobody is 100%. But the fact that they are practicing is great. Keep an eye on Jalen Carter, though, also limited, very limited because of some sort of illness or sick or flu or something. So keep an eye on that forward.
Yeah, they will, no doubt about it. But they'll make sure he takes all the vitamin C he needs to be ready to go for Sunday. Not much on the injury slash practice report for Kansas City. Sky Moore still on the IR, limited. He hasn't played since mid-October. Patrick Mahomes with his ankle, full participant, as was Juwan Taylor, his right tackle. So that is the injury report officially in Super Bowl week. We expect to see everybody that has basically played the last 2 months to be out there come Sunday inside the Superdome. So we'll talk about half by half, quarter by quarter, piece by piece for Super Bowl 59 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When we ended Championship Sunday around the NFL and we had our Super Bowl 59 matchup between the Eagles and the Chiefs, we promised you that here on the early line, in the 2 weeks we had to build up Super Bowl Sunday in the Big Easy, that we would break down the biggest game of each and every football season from every single angle. I think we've done a pretty good job of that. So today we go half by half, quarter by quarter, all of the available numbers to dictate how the game flow will play out in New Orleans on Sunday evening. We start in the first half. Our first half total is 24 and a hook. Full game total still remains 48 and a half. Just for comparison, second half total 23 and a hook. We'll look at the second half in just a moment. So the odds makers, even ever so slightly, expecting just a tad more scoring in the opening 30 minutes. More points in the first quarter, plus 350. Second quarter, minus 480. A score in the opening 5 minutes, plus 184. A score after the two-minute warning in the opening half, minus 430. Both teams to have a lead, plus 132. That's in the half, by the way. All those numbers in the half. Tied at the half, that's a 9-1 price. And just from the money line perspective, in a game right now where the overall money line for the entirety of it is a 22-cent distinction, even on both sides. Chiefs minus 110, Eagles minus 110 as well. Joe, how do you see the first half of Super Bowl 59 playing out?
I am cautious, I think, Ben, is the way I would put it here with these two teams. Listen, we all know the offenses are, for both teams, are not even remotely close to what we had a couple of years ago by just about every metric. But don't forget, the Eagles a couple of years ago, remember who their offensive coordinator was, Ben? It was Shane Steichen.
Yeah.
That's not what they have here. And they also did not run the ball nearly like they run it now. In many of his analytics here, we've seen Jalen Hurts take a step back from the standpoint of when he had to release the ball, how quick, how long does he hold the ball? Jalen Hurts has been under pressure more so. He's there with Jameis Winston. He is there with Deshaun Watson for guys that were absolutely under pressure the most for quarterbacks. Why? Because, well, he's held on to the ball a lot longer. If you watch that film from a couple of years ago under Shane Steichen, it was quick. The decisions were quick. The release was quick. Not so much this year, holding on to it a little bit longer, having to scramble, having to run. He's been sacked more than he's ever been sacked. So I do think all of that is going to play into a first half under here. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get red zone trips that are going to settle in field goals, Ben, certainly from Kansas City. Why? Because even though Vic Fangio defenses have never beaten Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, when you look at the red zone figures, when they get into the red zone, they can't score touchdowns against Fangio's defense. They lock them down, which means Butker going to be very busy, I think, early on in this game. Only an under for me in this one. I think field goals are coming a lot in this game.
And part of the offensive philosophy, of course, in Philadelphia is also predicated by the personnel. They have the league's best running back who has had a historical season in Saquon Barkley. But Joe, I would agree. If you think this will be a defensive matchup between two of the five teams that have allowed fewer than 20 points per game this year, KC included Philadelphia, the league's best defense all season long, and you think this game stays under 48 and a half, I don't know how you think the first half goes over 24 and a hook. And the under has the juice on that number, minus 135. If you think we see 31 points in the first two quarters, how do we stay under 48 and a half as both teams will be nearing 20 points already after the opening two quarters? Again, I think if you think this is that defensive struggle, both teams feeling each other out, this stays under 24 and a hook in the opening half. The first two times these teams saw each other in a Super Bowl 2 years ago in Glendale, high scoring, first half. 38 total points. The Eagles had a 10-point lead at the break, 24-14, before the Chiefs, of course, rallied and had a huge fourth quarter. Second half, Joe, does it open up, or 23.5 is that total for our final two quarters? Both teams to have a lead just in the second half, plus 142. That wouldn't surprise me, seeing as how back and forth we expect this game to be. Both teams to lead in the fourth quarter, that's plus 250. For there to be three total touchdowns, over 2.5 TD score in just the second half, the over is minus 148. What do you think we see in the third and, of course, the very crucial fourth quarter in Super Bowl 59?
Yeah, well, the second half is really the key, right? Because we have seen Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs and in the Super Bowls, man, just be absolutely unbelievable coming from behind. If Patrick Mahomes is trailing in the second half, there's been nobody been able to finish them in the playoffs and in this big game. So it's just unbelievable how they're able to make those second half adjustments, and it goes back to coaching. They make the second half adjustments. It doesn't make a difference if they're down one score, two scores. They dominate the second half when needed. Now, Philadelphia has done a really good job of dominating the second quarter this year, usually the first half, and then they kind of milk out the clock, and then the volume gets Saquon Barkley all the yards he wants here. I would be very interested. The second half to me is going to be all predicated on who's trailing and who is leading. And if it is the Kansas City Chiefs trailing at the half, would not shock me if we start looking at some of these, some of those props leading me to Kansas City making some sort of a comeback in the second half and winning the second half. Whether or not it'll be enough determines on how big a lead they have in that first half. But I think it's all about who has the lead at the break.
Part of this historic dynasty is the fact that Kansas City has come back from a double-digit deficit in each of its previous two Lombardi Trophy wins over Philadelphia 2 years ago against the Niners early in the opening half a season ago. Quarter by quarter, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So we went half by half for Super Bowl 59. Now let's talk quarter by quarter and how many points we are going to see in each 15-minute segment of Super Bowl 59. To be the highest scoring quarter, right off the jump, it's plus 750. The highest scoring quarter that the odds makers expect is actually the second 15 minutes right before the break. That would be the second quarter. Fourth quarter, second shortest price at plus 195. But Joe, you can really kind of see the distinction there. They expect the first two quarters of each half to kind of be a slower pace. Then you start to figure things out as you make your in-game adjustments and what you see personnel-wise in those next 15 minutes, second quarter, fourth quarter as well. Just to tell you what it was in Super Bowl 57, highest scoring quarter, the fourth, 25 total points, barely edging out what we saw in the second quarter, 24 total points, lowest scoring total, the first time the Birds and the Chiefs played each other with a Lombardi Trophy on the line was the third quarter, 7 points for KC, only a field goal for Philadelphia.
Yeah. We know the second quarter has historically been pretty good for Philadelphia. They figure some things out. They kind of dominate that quarter, and that's what's allowed them in a lot of their games this year to be able to go into the break with a sizable enough lead and then just kind of milk the clock in the second half. We've seen the Chiefs honestly do the same thing, Ben, right? We've seen them also be able to get a lead in spots and then just move the chains, move the chains, move the chains. Ironically enough, the Chiefs, they don't have that same kind of explosive offense, big play, 80-yard touchdown. They don't have that this year. Everything is very methodical, very slow. They're not hurrying up. They're not doing anything along those lines. So I would tend to believe, given Andy Reid's track record, we know Kansas City 2 weeks to prepare They're going to come out firing. And then Fangio and company are going to have to figure out whatever to try to take it away in the second half. I actually think the first and second quarter are probably your better bets for the highest scoring quarters than the third and the fourth when adjustments kick in.
So it is interesting, Joe, because in Super Bowl 57, and in large part even the following year in 2023's NFL season, the Eagles were a dynamic and dynamite bet in the opening quarter, opening half. This year, it's kind of been a different story. They are the NFL's best third and fourth quarter scoring team all year long, averaging better than 9 points per game in both the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Philadelphia making those halftime adjustments, if you will. Saquon Barkley wearing on the defense on the other side. Whatever it might be, the Eagles have been a better second half scoring team in general than that of the opening half. Kansas City's been pretty much evenly split along the four quarters all year long. Plus 410, a scoreless quarter if the defenses really do reign supreme. So, Joe, before the NFL postseason begins, it's always fun to look at who is going to lead the playoffs in specific categories around the NFL. And, of course, for teams like Kansas City, they are expected to play one fewer game, having the opening round bye. You always bring that into your handicaps. But as we look at the current postseason leaders around the NFL, Jaden Daniels leads in both passing yards and passing touchdowns. And then a couple of other commanders down there as well. Receiving yards, Deami Brown. Receiving touchdowns, Terry McLaurin. And of course, Saquon Barkley leads in both rushing yards and rushing touchdowns and will be very hard to catch. He is minus 800 to lead the NFL postseason in rushing touchdowns. He is so far ahead in rushing yards that that is even off the board. The one that intrigues me the most, Jaden Daniels, 5 passing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts has 3, plus 370 to win this market. If he throws 3 touchdowns, which would be the way that he beats Jaden Daniels, not just ties Daniels with 5 touchdowns, that price is plus 640 for Jalen Hurts to throw 3 touchdowns in Super Bowl 59, a slightly better sprinkle, if you will.
Well, listen, if that comes to fruition and it's Jalen Hurts' arm that ends up taking down Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid and company here, right, then we're going to be having a different conversation for years ahead, looking ahead on Jalen Hurts and how we frame him when we look at some of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, because he's not there yet. But if that's how it ends up playing out, Ben, we're having a different conversation next year.
Dallas Goedert also intriguing to catch. Deami Brown only needs 41 yards to do so, 42 to pass through. 50.5 Goddard receiving yards prop for the Super Bowl. More from New Orleans next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's head back out to the Big Easy and Radio Row, where Donnie Wrightside caught up yesterday with longtime NFL legend along the defensive front. That's Warren Sapp.
Media Row right here in New Orleans, Super Bowl 59, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, Donnie Wrightside, and Hall of Famer, Warren Sapp.
Hey, how's it going, baby?
Doing good, man. We got a lot to go over and a lot to talk about, because number one, I think you're the best defensive tackle that we've ever seen. Do you agree with that?
I just like to be in the conversation because every year I get a grand opportunity to take a picture with Bob Lilly, Mr. Cowboy.
Yes.
Mean Joe Green.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy White.
There you go.
And myself. That's four of the five. And Merlin Olsen is the fifth. There's only 5 first ballot Hall of Famers ever. So just to be in that conversation with Joe Green, Randy White, Bob Lilly, Mr. Cowboy, and Little House on the Prairie or Father Murphy.
There you go.
Don't know about that.
See that?
You know what I'm saying? We know him from a show.
Yeah.
Not playing, but if you ever watched him play, he was a monster. 14-time All-Pro. I mean, Pro Bowler. So, I mean, monster. I just like being in the conversation. And then Aaron Donald's going to join us.
Correct.
And be the sixth. So
yes.
We got the new, the old, everything you want.
Look, we talk about the old school defensive tackle. It's fantastic. But for you, being a defensive tackle, able to absolutely wreck the pocket and be one of the best sackers. How did you do that?
I made it
sexy. Like, how did you do it, though? Yeah.
I made it sexy. I used to hang out with Derrick Brooks and Lynch and, you know, Lawrence Taylor, you know, and all these guys that's on the end, Reggie White, Bruce Smith, them my guys.
Yep.
It was just me and Johnny inside, me and Johnny Randall. Yep. So Johnny was up there spinning, doing his worldly dervish thing up there on that carpet.
Yeah.
I had to get down and dirty with it, so I was playing chicken with a semi, you know.
Yep, hey, man, big dancing said, around, hey, the big bears dancing, I like it. Now, the way you got to the NFL, I want to talk about high school. Did you know?
No.
I know you were a tight end in high school. Is that true?
I'll show you a picture of me. I'm 225 pounds with a high top fade.
Yeah.
I ate a fourth grader on my way to Miami. Still on the scale. I was 270. I'm like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And then they put me on a 3,000 calorie a day diet.
Beef it up.
And I went from, 3,000 calories a day?
Oh, so you were slimming.
I'm trying to get back to tight end.
Wow.
I go from 270 to 300.
Yeah.
It was just a natural progression, I just went and played.
When you went to Miami, recruited as a tight end?
Yeah.
How did they put that? What, hand in the dirt? What'd they say to you?
Bob Carmelowitz and the great Ed Ogeron from right here in New Orleans.
Correct.
Look me in the face and say, son, Bob Carmelowitz, God bless his soul, told me, I've seen Jerome, Cortez, and Russell. You can be better than all three of them. I said, come on, man. I don't blow smoke up my butt.
Yeah.
He said, son, you play every position on our scout team against the number one defense in America, and we have trouble stopping you. I need to put you on that defense, and you turn into the monster that I need. And I'm like, Then I went and tried it, and they fooled me.
Yeah.
They only put me in pass rush drills. And none of the starters or any of the guys that were going to play would ever give me a rep. So I'm beating guys that would never play in the NFL. But I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, true.
Wasn't doing nothing but building my confidence in all hell. You know how that is.
Warren, we talk about great defenses. And obviously being a great defensive tackle yourself at Miami on great defenses, with Tampa Bay on great defenses. What's the fundamental of a great defense? What's the mindset?
11.
All
it
in
requires
one?
All 11.
Yeah.
Because no man is insignificant in this defense.
Yeah.
No man is insignificant in our fit, how we rally to the ball, how we perswarm, how we pursue. It's got to be a mentality that you all live by. It's a pack of wild dogs.
Yeah.
And if it's a pack of wolves, the lone wolf will die, right?
Yeah.
It's that pack. You got to live for that pack. And I truly believe the front and the back end must work together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Either you got pressure on the quarterback or you got great coverage. And then if you ain't got great coverage, you got pressure on the quarterback. If you ain't got pressure on the quarterback, you covering on the back end and getting the coverage sack.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. And then your linebackers must communicate and be the blood that runs through the defense. And that's what I've been very, very fortunate. I raised Ray Lewis and I had Derrick Brooks.
Yeah. Just great football players all the way
through. Linebackers to be around, right?
Yeah, exactly. Teaching them the whole ropes here.
No, I was learning from them because they were such attention to detail because the motion meant something to them.
Yeah.
I lived in a world where linemen didn't lie.
True.
If it was a snap of the ball and it was a scoop block, he scooped.
Yeah.
He reached. He double teamed. Yep. He pulled. There's no lying in them trenches. So I was taking off and they were reading. So it was a brilliant combination.
Warren, when you came through Miami, it was obviously NFLU at that time. So you had that pedigree coming through. When you finally got to the NFL, what was your mindset when you got there? I'm here, I'm ready? Or was it still in that learning curve?
No,
right away?
You run into men like Chris Hinton.
Yeah.
Who was in the trade for John Elway.
Correct.
In 1983.
You're right about that.
1983?
Yeah.
I'm 10 years old.
True.
So I don't know who Chris Hinton is, but I know who Randall McDaniel is.
Yeah.
So now you got to choose between Randall McDaniel and Chris Hinton.
Yeah.
Who would you choose? Chris Hinton, because you don't know who Chris Hinton is,
exactly.
Right? So I go over to Chris Hinton. He's 30-something years old right at the end of his career. I said, I'm going to run up this old man numbers. Grab me, headbutted me. Don't come over here with that bull rush stuff today. he whacked me three times with his helmet after he stopped me with his hand, and I'm dizzy. I said, I'm going over here with Randall. At least he ain't going to talk crazy to me.
Yeah.
So when I got my game together the next year with Marinelli, I went to looking through rosters for Chris Hinton. I couldn't find him. He had retired.
There you go. Now, I said before we had a little bit of beef here. Why did you do this to me? Now, I'm going to give you the date. It was early 2003 in January, Veterans Stadium, cold weather day.
January 19?
I'm sitting.
January 19?
Yeah, I believe it was. I'm sitting in the 700 level.
A friend of mine.
Yeah.
I was speaking to him about the Eagles coming to the Super Bowl again. Yep. And I'm like, if the Commanders beat y'all in this championship game, will that be one of the worst losses in Philly history? He said, no, Tampa's the worst loss ever.
Warren, I'm telling you, you might have ruined my life that day. Like, we were going to the Super Bowl, and you came in and stole it. You and Simeon Rice stole it.
No, no. I almost wore my Rondé Barber hat.
Oh, come on, man.
I had it Rondé.
I still see him right now.
Running down the sideline.
Silent.
He's still running. You know, my friends say, Rondé's still running. Jared Vicious is still running. You got to love Philly fans. Y'all are the best. Y'all, because I should have been there.
Yeah.
I should have been there.
Yeah.
But Mike Mamula, I love Mike Mamula. That's my guy. I got him on speed dial.
I'm telling you, we wanted you in town. And then the next year you come back when we open the link. Now, you took it as disrespect, and you were right. You're supposed to get the home game. You beat us down in the game number one.
Trust me.
You were menacing me my whole life.
And my first game ever was the For Who For What game with Ricky Waters.
Ricky Waters. That was
21-6.
Man, you are so
That was my first game ever in the NFL.
At the Vet, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look at that.
For Who For What game.
Yeah. So we go. You were breaking the backs of Philadelphia Eagles for a long time. Now, granted, we got you a couple years in the playoffs.
No, y'all broke my back because I had to sit there for another hour and 45 minutes while we went pick 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
That's a lot of you looking at the paycheck like that. Some less money, less money.
It was never my money to get. You can't lose money that was never yours.
That's true.
And each team has a different, thing they needed.
Yeah.
I think, Denny Green's dead now. God bless his soul. But I know Minnesota fans feel worse than y'all.
I bet they do, man.
Oof.
By the way, one of the legendary players. But let's get to what you're doing now.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you're in that next step of life where you can teach the youngsters how to get after it. You're with Colorado. The experience there so far for you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Life-changing. Uh-huh. Everything I could even think of and more.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd want to coach.
Yeah.
But the young
What made you want to get into the coaching?
The young man infected me.
Yeah.
I went to go see Dion, just visited him. And I had a hip. My hip was bothering me. And I went down to the training room and I was in the pool.
Yeah.
Dion tells this story so vividly because I really wasn't thinking about it. But all of a sudden, I had almost the whole D-line on top of me asking me questions. Yeah. And they were just sucking it up. I mean, going. And I was like, yeah. I want this.
Because I want to ask you something about that, too, because so many great players try to be coaches or try to level up, and you just figure you are so good that you're teaching your technique to those kids and they can't pick it up. Do you get frustrated at times, or are you just like, you know what? I'm just going to have to get through them one way or another.
No. I got a perfect example.
Go ahead.
One of my kids there, I won't say his name, but he'll know it and I tell the story. He likes different pass rush moves. And I'm like, listen, son, I got 102.5.
Yep.
They're all in the grave and not one of them with that move.
Yeah.
Not one of them with that move. So we going for a good month and a half, 6 weeks. I looked at him, and I saw him. He looked uncomfortable in his stance. And I pulled him over to the side. I said, what's my rule? He said, get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I can't get comfortable when I can't do my thing.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? My bad. It's your plate.
Yeah.
It better work.
Yep.
It better work.
Yeah.
It better. And off he
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We stay out in New Orleans. It is always a busy time on Radio Row, especially as you get deeper and deeper into the week. So at the Sports Grid set, a variety of different players around the NFL, either former guys who suited up in the National Football League or even those that played during this season, making the rounds around the Super Bowl 59 Media Center. And in New Orleans, it's a party, right? It's the Big Easy for the biggest game of each and every NFL season. It's one of the beautiful things about being at the Super Bowl, as we saw yesterday, again, live at the Sports Grid set, at least live yesterday afternoon, Kevin Walsh catching up with a guy that knows what it's like to be in the running back spot, who has played in Super Bowls in years past. That would be Raheem Mostert. Here's old K-Dubs and Raheem Mostert yesterday on Radio Row in New Orleans.
Tell me, for you playing in both Kyle and Mike McDaniel's offenses, you know, Mike kind of comes from the Shanahan tree. What about the way those guys, I guess, are scheming up the run game create so many opportunities for a player like yourself?
Yeah, it's a run style offense, and we've transitioned and tweaked a couple things in our offense with the Dolphins. You know, utilizing a little more speed and motions and everything like that. Now, motions go hand in hand with play action and everything like that. So you have to account for all that stuff mm-hmm. as a defense, right? But, yeah, it's just trying to tweak the offense a little bit, and we've been able to do that. Unfortunately, this year was a little bit of a rigid road for us due to some injuries and everything like that and not clicking on the same pages. But, I mean, once again, that's just how ball goes, right?
I mean, yeah, injuries can dictate a lot, right? And it hit you guys in a tough way. I think you were comfortably over 500 when Tua was out there.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly impacted Tyreek. That post game, he's kind of like, yeah, I got to get out of here. I'm curious, when you saw that, when you heard that, did you have a reaction?
Yeah, you know, when we finished that game against the Jets and then we headed to the locker room, you know, I just came out the shower and one of our media guys gave us a heads up that, you know, Tyreek said those words. And for me, I didn't take it personal because I know the type of competitor he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do, however, feel like you shouldn't ever quit on the team. That's just because we're all bleeding out there. But when you're a competitor and you're just so fed up with how the year has gone for yourself and gone for the team and gone for the organization, at some point you do have that breaking point. And I'm not, you know, faulting him for his actions or anything like that. But, you know, he does have a right to feel that way. He does have a right to feel you know, discouraged about how the season went, how he played, and yeah, I mean, you know, for him, and I've had multiple conversations with him. You know, he's one of my guys. You know, we were texting back and forth this morning when he's coming out here.
Yeah.
And we're gonna grab a dinner or something like that. But you know, he's definitely having those talks with him. He's definitely one of those competitors that just wants to win. He knows what winning looks like. He has a Super Bowl. You know, unfortunately,
yeah.
I don't because
right.
I lost to him about it.
Yes.
But you know, he has one of those championship mindsets in him. So
yes.
you can't fault him for feeling that way.
Can I ask you? I mean, you know, if it's, you know, a personal conversation, but mm-hmm. have you touched base with him? Does he still want in?
Yeah.
With the
Miami
Dolphins?
No, he definitely wants in. He's a competitor. He wants to win. You know, he just
in Miami.
Yeah, he was just fed up at that moment.
Sure.
You know, and just like everybody else was, but they just didn't have the courage to say it like he did.
Right.
And he's a guy that's just truly a competitor.
Okay.
And wants to win.
Yeah. Now I want to ask you about the game against Green Bay, NFC mm-hmm. title game. You run for 224 scores, and it's one of those things. I don't know. I probably can't actually imagine what that is like.
Yeah.
Saquon had, you know, a few games this year.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I was nervous, Kev, about that one. I thought he was gonna break the record. I was watching him. I'm like, man, the first two handoffs were touchdowns already, and then his first one, he ran for 50-60 yards.
Yeah, 61.
I was like, oh my goodness, he's about to break this record.
But for you, and that's awesome to think about, but is there like a moment in a game where you go, ooh, this could be a big game here.
Yeah, when it's something about, you know, when you get that, like for me with that game, I got that first handoff and, you know, I was like, all right, I'm feeling it. And then my first touchdown, it was like a 50 yard, I can't remember.
36,
but,
I was looking at it.
Oh, 36, okay, so yeah. All right, so the 36 yarder. And at first, I was just trying to get some yards because it was third and long. You know, we were in field goal range, trying to make it a little bit easier. But once you saw the hole, you're like, okay, yep, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And then the rest just so happened. You know, we didn't have to pass the ball. We knew that we could take advantage of the run game, and we did that.
I'll get you out on this, Raheem. And again, we're out here in New Orleans. Raheem Mostert, he's with GoDaddy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that the season Saquon had, Derrick Henry, some of what we saw from your guys' rush attack,
mm-hmm.
Especially I know last year there was a lot of explosive plays, McCaffrey's season, the running back position is about to get re-elevated and start to get a little bit more respect, maybe a couple extra dollars?
Yeah, you know, I've had this conversation with multiple people, and I truly feel like, you know, what's been on display these past couple years, you know, at the running back position, it's only necessary that, you know, our pay increases. I saw a stat the other day that, you know, Saquon is tied for 27th or something like that, highest paid receiver.
Yeah.
And to imagine the things that he's done this year. I wouldn't say he carried the team, you know, to the Super Bowl, but he's definitely been a very beneficial part. And an intricate part in the offense. Well,
I said this to someone the other day, and I'm trying to elevate both parties. Saquon Barkley is as important as Justin Jefferson.
Absolutely.
And I don't even think that people would disagree with
that.
Right?
I mean, you can't disagree with that. He's helping the position so much, and he's helping, you know, just like everybody, though. If you look at it now, this league, our position takes the most beating, right? Because we take the most hits, you know, unlike receivers. And that's, I mean, you got to do right. You got to do right by the position itself. So it's encouraging to see guys getting their opportunity and raising the position and its value.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. All right, man, Raheem Mostert,
yes, sir.
Out here in New Orleans.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Early line on this Thursday, 3 days away from Super Bowl 59. And yesterday on Radio Row, a good friend of the program, Rashad White, running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, catching up with Kevin Walsh in the Big Easy.
Live on Radio Row with Sports Grid out here in New Orleans. Kevin Walsh, I'm with Tampa Bay Bucs running back Rashad White as we get set for another Super Bowl here. Rashad, you know, these are two teams when we think about Philadelphia and Kansas City. You guys went up against this season.
Yeah.
And you kind of smashed the Eagles, actually. And Kansas City was a super close game. You lose in overtime. You didn't get the football. And that was, I feel like, the peak of when you guys were dealing with so many of your injuries there. I'm curious from your own guys' perspective, because you also had a win against the Detroit Lions. You think about teams that were viewed in the upper echelon. You guys always played them so tough and grabbed a couple of games off those teams.
Yeah, man, it's a good, interesting week. I mean, got a rematch, got a revenge game that could possibly take place. And, yeah, you got some teams that we was fortunate enough to go against.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like you said, beat one, lost one, beat, you know, the Lions. I'm not here to gloat and stuff like that, though. But, yeah, man.
But I think for you, you know, Tampa Bay and – I'm sure you guys hear kind of what the expectations are.
Yeah.
Despite winning the division multiple times, they're like, we don't know about the Bucs this year. And I know you guys wanted more in the postseason this year. I understand that. But do you feel that you guys can, like, you are a top contender? Again, maybe it didn't break right this year, but you guys are right there from breaking through and making a super deep postseason run.
Yeah. I'll say, yeah, for sure. I believe that we, you know, be a couple plays away every time. Sometimes we don't come out on that end, and that's life. That's football. But all we can kind of do is go back to the drawing board and everybody focus on what they got to do and their job, and then we come together, make sure we on the same page collectively and make another crack at it. But, yes, in the building, the locker room, and the guys, how we feel about it, yes, we believe we got enough talent. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, experts feel about Tampa. I don't know. I just feel like they ain't been liking Tampa until Brady got there, and then they didn't really like him after Brady got there, us after Brady left and retired. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you look at rooms or just, like, stats or whatever you want to look at, like positions, I think we match up with a lot of people very well.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I'm curious for you, the year-to-year change from Canales as your guys' offensive coordinator to Cohen. How different did you feel the offense was? Because results-wise, I mean, I think you could make an argument it was even better, because there was a lot of people wondering, oh, how would you guys handle the adjustment? You know, all right, we lose out on some continuity. What were the differences that you noticed playing with Cohen as your OC this year?
I always tip my hat off to Lim, man, and what he did. Came in very creative, innovative offense. It was still the West Coast offense, but, you know, obviously he had his own little wrinkles that he threw to it. You got to give a lot of credit to the staff of like Jason, the guys up front, our GM and things like that. Obviously drafting a center like Graham and putting the linemen in place, the pieces in place. in order to get what we got. I think we've always been good at passing, obviously, since I've been there. I'm going on my fourth year now, but I think they did a great job of helping us, you know, establish a run game, something different. But I also give a lot of credit to, like, our O-line, our players, our wide receivers, guys that block down the field. And then you got to give credit to, like, you know, our running back room. You know, I think we did a great job. Me, Bucky, Sean, and just like that, like, you know, doing, making plays, you know, when our number was called.
I'm just curious if you're looking around the league now, and some players are taking some things into their own hands, right? We saw Myles Garrett request a trade, right? Sometimes, you know, people call it's a business, right? Cooper Kupp the other day said it like, the Rams are going to trade me.
Right.
I don't want to go. It's what it's going to be. Is that something that you're taking notice of and thinking about, maybe that you have more options than guys used to have around the league?
So yeah, I mean, you see, you got options, you got things like that. Have I really? No, I think because everybody's situation is different. Everybody at a different point in a career, different time, you know, so you just kind of look at it. I like to look at things logically, understanding the business, but I like to obviously to understand kind of the person, you know, what they have accomplished, what they got going for themselves. So, like, you look at that, you respect, you know, that Myles Garrett trade. Obviously, he want to win. He want to play on a bigger stage. You know what I'm saying? He want to have that type of impact. I mean, you know, he already won Defensive Player of the Year, things like that. So I look at, like, situations and things like that and for a count. I also look at the running back position in the league anyway. Like, yeah, you got Saquon. Yeah, just like that. But Kenneth Gainwell still, you know, he spells Saquon. You know, the running back position in the league is 1-2 punch, obviously, so they could cut down the numbers of paying guys, which is respect. Obviously, too, like, no disrespect, a lot of guys can't play all three downs, like, and yeah, bodies hold up. So it's a great thing about it.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.